All right, look, if the Felger and Mazz show is any indication, let me just tell you right now, we will get to Stanton and the Yankees. Okay, we'll get to that. I know a lot of you have something to say about Giancarlo Stanton and the way he has played yet, and the mighty Yankees and how they have looked. We will get to all of that, I promise, because we're going to have a whole week to talk about the Yankees. We are. They're coming in here tomorrow for a three-game series. Pitching matchups are fabulous. In that first series with the Yankees, their three best against your three best. We will get to a lot of that tomorrow. We will get to Stanton, though, during the course of this program. Billy Lanny is in for our producer, Jimmy Stewart, today. Billy, you can open up the phones right away. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. And that comeback by the Red Sox yesterday, 6 runs in the 8th inning, down 7-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Red Sox rally. They rallied for 6 runs with 2 outs. 6. They scored 6 times without the benefit of a home run, by the way. Not an easy thing to do. Hitting the ball all over the ballpark, doubles down the line, singles into center field. All of that to rally for an 8-7 win over the Tampa Bay Rays. And you heard Dave O'Brien, the voice of the Red Sox, on Nesson say it right there. The first time in franchise history that the Red Sox are 8-1 to start a season. 8-1. Not a lot to bitch about, right?
You'd think.
But we'll find something, Murray. We have a capacity to do that here on the program again. 617-779-0985. So look, let me tell you up front, of all the things that have happened to the Red Sox here in the first week and a half of the season, to me, the first and most obvious thing to be happy about is these comebacks on the homestand. Okay, but before we even get to that, now that I think of it being the idiot I am, and I know you just did headlines, when there is news, I like to do news at the beginning of the show, Murray. So if you could repeat for everyone, please, the latest on Xander Bogaerts.
Sure. He's been placed on the 10-day disabled list as the team announced that Bogaerts suffered what is they're calling a small crack in the talus bone in his left ankle. It is not displaced. It will not require surgery. And the team is saying he's expected to miss 10 to 14 days. They've also, in a corresponding move, brought up Zhu Weilin from Pawtucket.
Okay, so this to me brings up a lot of things. First of all, a terrible timing, and not because it's early in the year or anything of the like. Terrible timing because Bogaerts is playing his ass off. Boy, is he playing good baseball here in the early part of the year. He will be lost now for a minimum of 10 days. The Red Sox have said 10 to 14. And say that again, Murray. Did they say he'd be reevaluated, or they expect him to be out?
No, expected to miss 10 to 14 days. That's how it's written in the,
okay,
the press release.
So it's an interesting way to write it, because if they say he'll be reevaluated, it doesn't mean he'll be back in 2 weeks. And they say that it is a slight crack of the talus bone, which is at the top of the foot, closest to the leg.
Yeah, the bone that holds the leg and foot in place. I've been looking at this during the last few commercial breaks of Felger and Mazz, so I don't know. Reading about this, look, I mean, everyone can say, you can hear from people, like, and I'm sure you'll end up taking calls, like, I've had this, this has happened to me, but it sounds like it's a skateboarding injury more than anything else, and it takes a lot longer than 10 to 14 days to recover from if there's a break or
okay,
a crack.
Okay, so I would tell you that I have some concern about the injury, and again, if you watch it, and it was Evan Drellick who first tweeted this out yesterday, that if you watch the play, when Bogaerts is running toward the dugout to prevent a ball from going in there in hopes of saving the Red Sox a run, and he did, right? On that play, Bogaerts' final step, his foot lands dead flat. Up until that point, as he's running, he's on the balls of his feet. And then if you've ever misstepped and landed sort of on your foot flat, and you know that all that weight comes down on your foot, you know what I'm talking about. You watch the replay of it, and when I saw this tweet from Evan Drellick, and I went back and watched it, I thought, Drellick's right. It didn't happen on the fall into the dugout. It happened on the last step. My initial reaction was it's an Achilles injury. Then I saw Bogaerts get up and walk up the steps and onto the field, and I thought, well, no, probably not Achilles, because if it were Achilles and it were bad, he wouldn't be able to walk. I mean, he wouldn't be able to put any weight on it whatsoever. His foot literally would be dangling from his,
right,
from his leg. And so, and the more I thought about it, it wasn't Achilles related. But then you start worrying about stress fractures, Liz Frank injuries, things like that in the foot, bone injuries, ligament injuries in the actual core, or, you know, the actual foot and not the ankle. And it sounds like that's what we have. So you're going to be without Bogaerts for a little while. I'll tell you, if he's back in 2 weeks, you should consider yourselves lucky. Lucky. I'm willing to bet it's going to be more than that. It wouldn't surprise me if Xander Bogaerts misses at least a month. Which brings me to another issue, which concerns a roster decision the Red Sox made in spring training to trade Devin Marrero when they instead of Brock Holt, who can't play shortstop every day, if you ask me, and that's why Su-Wei Lin is here from Pawtucket to take Bogaerts' spot on the roster. But in any case, that's the news. That's the bad news. The good news? This team has shown a lot of fight here in the last week. The games that they played on that road trip, I didn't think they played especially well. I don't think they played or pitched especially well yesterday. I guess I'm talking about Eduardo Rodriguez. But do you realize that they haven't made an error yet defensively? I think they're the only team in baseball that has not made an error. And it feels like the base running mistakes have gotten a little bit better in the last couple of days. They're starting to hit the ball with some authority. They scored in this series against the Rays. But more than anything, those rallies, I don't care who they're against. You're down 7-2 in the eighth inning. To send that many men to the plate with two outs and to be able to basically get them all home to win the game, not an easy thing to do. And so you should be. You should be extremely happy with the way the Red Sox have started this season. Okay, again, 617-779-0985. We'll get to some of the other stuff, too, as we get to through the course of the program, but we'll kick it off tonight with Fran, who's in a car. Fran, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, yeah, actually, you kind of hit the nail on the head, right, with your little opening there, but I was just wondering, how much blame do you put on Martinez on that throw? I just feel a little disappointed, and his contribution so far seemed to be more injuring players than actually hitting.
So, Fran, I'll tell you what, I was going to do this a little later in the program, but I'm glad you brought it up. And since you brought it up now, we'll do it now. J.D. Martinez in the outfield is a freaking butcher. He's a butcher. I go back to the game in Miami against the Marlins the night that was been the finale of the season-opening road trip when they sat Mookie Betts and played J.D. Martinez in right field, and there was that blooper in a right center field. Mookie Betts would have caught that ball standing on his hands with his feet. He would have caught that ball easily. But then, J.D. Martinez stumbled and bumbled his way to it, and then the ball fell into right center field. I thought that was bad enough. And they played him in right field in Miami because that is the smaller field than the outfield. Then yesterday at Fenway Park, holy crap. First of all, he had the chance to turn a double play in the middle innings, caught a line drive with runners at first and second, and both guys were way off the bases. Both base runners were way off of first and second. Martinez could have really thrown it to either place if he put anything on the throw and was accurate. He threw to nobody in particular, missed second base by a mile, and he's lucky that the runners didn't end up advancing because the throw was so bad. And then, later in the game, as the caller noted, on the play that Bogaerts got hurt on, Martinez backed up toward the left field wall, misplayed it, the ball hit the wall, then hit him, and kicked into the corner for what ended up being a triple. So when you weigh all of that with Martinez, you really start to ask the question, why is he playing left field at all? I mean, really. And on the ball that bounced off him after it hit the wall, Jerry Remy said during the broadcast that he thought Martinez could have caught it. Now, I don't know if I didn't take a good enough look at the replay and really slow it down to see exactly where on the wall it hit. But I look at J.D. Martinez in the outfield and I say instantly the Red Sox are a worse team. Now, look, can they get away with it from time to time, particularly at Fenway Park? Sure. Yes. And in fact, they should. When they face certain pitching, Jackie Bradley should sit, Benintendi should play center, and Martinez should play left. But when they have a lead in the late innings, Bradley should be back in center, Benintendi should move to left, and J.D. Martinez should be on the bench. Alex Cora has taken Hanley Ramirez out of some of these games in the late innings and put Mitch Moreland in for defensive reasons. I would encourage him to do the same with J.D. Martinez in left field. Because believe me, this guy might be one of the worst left fielders I've seen at Fenway. And that's saying, he makes Manny look good. Really. Manny wasn't nearly as bad as this guy. In fact, I think Hanley was a better outfielder than this guy.
And the thing that sucks is they're going to continue to have this problem because he has to play in the outfield.
So really, they're going to have to address this one little by little over time. I get this guy out of the outfield as much as possible. Don't let him play out there much. He sucks as an outfielder. Wow, was he bad. Now, that said, again, hasn't hurt them. Red Sox are 8-1 here in the early going, and there's a lot to be happy about. 617-779-0985. The Baseball Reporters is brought to you by Big Y. Just like the Baseball Reporters program, Big Y has all the bases covered to get you game ready this baseball season. Stop in tonight on your way home. So thanks to our friends at Big Y. When we come back, we will relive that rally, and we'll get to the negatives in that game, too, beyond the fielding of J.D. Martinez. That's next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And Ramirez leading off last half of the eighth inning. Ground ball for a base hit. Ramirez continues to stay hot with the bat. 1-2. High fly, left field, backing up Smith. Still backing up, turning around now. It catches the wall. That brings in a run. Ramirez scores. It's a double for Moreland, his first hit of the season. That'll make it 7-3. 0-1. Ground ball, base hit. That's down the line. Moreland is in to score. Nunez into third. They're going to wave him in. Trouble in the corner. Here comes another run. Devers coming through, and the Red Sox close the gap. It is 7-5. Line shot, base hit. That'll bring in another run. Devers will score. 7-6.
That's a very, very good at bat by Vasquez, to say the least.
Line shot, base hit. Here comes Vasquez. He's trying to score. They let it come through. Play at the plate. He's safe. And the Red Sox have tied it. 7-7. Mookie Betts at second. Fly ball into left field. Smith backing up on the track. He can't get it. The run is in. Mookie scores. Benintendi to second. The Red Sox are in front. 8-7. Unbelievable.
My goodness, what an inning.
Red Sox have scored 5 times with 2 down in the 8th inning.
There you go. Quite a comeback by the Red Sox. Again, bad team or no bad team, you score 6 in the bottom of the 8th. That's a legit win. That's not one you can necessarily pick at least in the late innings. But in the early part of the game, Eduardo Rodriguez made his season debut, and it's easy to write this off as just his first start of the year. What did you expect? David Price looked good in his first start of the year. So did Chris Sale. So did all of them. Really, you go right down the list. In fact, the Red Sox starters have the best ERA in baseball. Red Sox starters have the best ERA in baseball. They are 5-0 with a 1.70 ERA in the early part of the year, and that's including the stink bomb that Eduardo Rodriguez put forth yesterday. So, Murray, I'm not asking you about the game specifically yesterday. I'm asking you in general. What do you think of Eduardo Rodriguez?
Well, there is one specific thing I do want to bring up from the game. I thought he was and kind of annoying, because the stuff looked like it was there the first couple of innings, but in the third, he had the one-out walk to Ref Snyder when he had him 0-2. He was trying to be too cute. Attack the strike zone. You have a guy 0-2? Go at him. And he walks him on 0-2 like that. And then that inning started to unravel on him a little bit. There was some bad defense in the fourth as well. But I don't know. I just thought that specific inning pissed me off. And I just thought it was eh. I just thought he was eh overall.
So again, he went 3 2/3 innings. Eduardo Rodriguez did, right? 3 2/3 innings, which I think is the shortest start of the year by a Red Sox starter. It's got to be, right? They've been so good. 5 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 7 strikeouts. That's an ERA of 7.36. To me, here's the more damning thing, and this speaks to what you're talking about, Murray. 3 2/3 innings, that's 11 outs. He threw 92 pitches in 3 2/3. David Price went 7 twice and threw 91. This guy threw 92 to get 11 outs. That's 8.5 pitches per out. You should be under 5 per out. Okay, it's an absurd. He is just so inefficient in terms of putting guys away. He extends at bats. He throws way too many pitches. And so if I were to ask you right now, who do you want as your number 5 starter? Eduardo Rodriguez or Brian Johnson? Who do you pick?
Brian Johnson.
To me, it's not even close.
Honestly, I'd even take Hector Velasquez over him.
Which to me is telling you something. Like, I don't even, you know, normally you'd say, six of one, half dozen of the other. Who cares? You know what? I'd rather have Johnson. I would. And I'm starting to wonder with Rodriguez.
Oh, and he's an injury waiting to happen, too. That's the other thing with this guy.
So that's another element with him that you're absolutely right to bring up is the history. I don't know how durable he is. And then, you know what? I start to wonder, the Red Sox have spent a lot of money. I don't know what type of player they're going to be able to take on to help the team in the middle of the season. So where do they go to get bullpen help? Maybe this guy. Maybe they can put Rodriguez in the bullpen and he can help become a, you know, help the setup situation. Or I don't know. I mean, I don't trust him at the beginning of the game. I don't know if I can trust him in the eighth. But sometimes you put those guys in there and you tell them to air them out and they're better pitchers as a result. So, to me, it's something I would consider if I'm the Red Sox.
When they first got him, I thought there was just... It looked like he was a guy that had so much upside. And with each passing year, it's just... I think it's becoming more clear why the Orioles actually moved on from him in the first place.
It's funny you said that, because I asked someone that very question yesterday. Is maybe now... is this why Baltimore was so willing to deal him? The one thing I would say with Rodriguez, I don't know if he's quite a good enough strike thrower to be pitching in the late innings in relief. And I don't know if he bounces back, you know, what types of durability his arm has, what have you. But if we're throwing ideas out there, to me, Eduardo Rodriguez in the bullpen is one of them. Because I don't think he can make it to 200 innings anywhere, or even, you know, 175. My buddy Angelo's in Methuen. We get back to your calls. He wants to talk about Bogarts. Go ahead, Angelo.
How do you know?
Well, because they tell me what you want to talk about.
Oh,
Angelo.
Yeah, that's right. Anthony, he's the hottest hitter on the team. It's too bad this had to happen yesterday.
Agree.
Really. I mean... That happened a couple of times. A couple of years ago, he was really up there. He got hit in the hand, and you know what happened after that. They wouldn't put him on the bench or put him on the DL. It was a shame, but he's the hardest hitter on the team. He's in there in the clutch, two outs. They're down by a run. He knocks in the tying run, and the rest is history, you know?
Yeah, so Angelo, look, he's had a great start to the season. And we didn't even get to Saturday yet when he hit the grand slam. And what did he finish with, 6 RBI in that game? He doubled in his first at-bat and knocked in 2. And then ended up hitting the grand slam that blew the game open, made it from 4-2, it made it 8-2. Bogarts has been a force. And in case you're just joining us, Bogarts will be out a minimum of 10 days. He was placed on the 10-day DL today. The Red Sox said he'll be out 10-14. He has a slight crack in a bone, the talus bone in his left foot. And to me, that is worrisome. When you start talking about breaks and cracks in the feet, particularly in a sport where you have to play every day for 6 months, not necessarily a good thing. So it does feel like Bogarts is a little cursed. Pete is in Pittsfield. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, Tony. I think you're being a little too hard on JD about his outfield play. I mean, we have a sample of him those 3 years in Detroit. He was their starting right fielder. He's been play the Central, I think, like 10 times a year. He's been in Fenway like 5 times. He's been in Detroit. We've seen him for at least like 10 games. He's played a okay right field. He might not be a gold, like a gold glover or like this, but he's been more than adequate. And I think like playing Fenway, playing left field, especially on a day like today when you don't play there every day, you've seen it before in years.
So, Pete, look.
Come in there,
yeah,
they have a hard time. You know, after a while, yeah, they come in like their second and third year. But I bet you, I can almost guarantee you, when the Yankees come in with Giancarlo playing left field, and if it's like a windy day or cold, you're going to see him look pretty silly out there in some plays, I'll be willing to bet.
So, Pete, I don't care how Giancarlo Stanton plays out there. He's only going to be here for 3 series all year long. J.D. Martinez, if he wants to play the outfield on a regular basis, has to play better than he's played in the early part of the year. And he played right field in Miami in his first game in the outfield this season, and he botched a play there, too. So now, look, I'm not telling you the guy's a bum. I'm telling you they acquired him for his bat, which we all know. But based on what I've seen in the first 2 or 3 games that he's played in the outfield, he's a butcher. Holy crap. I mean, that thing yesterday? Wow. I mean, it was a horrendous throw that he made on the ball back to the infield. And then beyond that, totally misplayed the wall. And look, I'll grant you, it's new to him. It is. It's new to him. Here's a tip. At Fenway Park, you can play a little deeper in left field. And if it's over your head, turn around and back up towards the infield. It's really that simple. So I don't know what he's going to be in the long term. I'll tell you what is a pet peeve of mine, though. When people say, well, we saw him come in here with Detroit for what, 10 games? I mean, you can never tell with these guys unless you watch them on a regular basis. Any of them. You can't tell about any of them unless you watch them on a regular basis. Maybe we caught him during a good series. Maybe we caught him during a bad one. Maybe he was hot. Maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was hitting, and so his defense got better. I don't know. But whatever it is, you got to watch them on a regular basis to really know what kind of players they are. Scott is in Connecticut. Go, Scott.
What's up, Matt? So just a couple things real quick, mostly on E-Rod. It's his first start off of rehab starts and surgery and stuff like that. You throw him into 40-degree weather. It's a slightly difficult situation, so I don't want to get too crazy on that. And we still have Steven Wright, Pomeranz coming back. So maybe he might be better off suiting in the bullpen. I kind of partially agree with you there. But please, please stop trying to strike every stinking guy out. There's a lot of ways to get outs. I like groundouts and pop-ups and flyouts. And you don't have to have 27 pitches per inning. And real quick on J.D. Martinez, I think you should get an inside guy and pay him a few bucks every day to steal his freaking glove.
So, look, I told you, I think the guy's a butcher out there. With Eduardo Rodriguez, you're right. I mean, he does. He tries to strike everybody out. Right? He tries to strike everybody out. And as a result, he needs 92 pitches to get 11 outs. 92 pitches. I mean, even if you don't allow runs, you're not going to make it through the fourth inning. You're not going to pitch long enough to get a win. What good are you? If you can only go four innings, you should be part of that Tampa Bay outfit that wants to change pitchers every two innings on the bullpen day. That's where he can be effective. But the Red Sox, it's reached, the guy's been here long enough now where you should see some progress, at least with regard to pitch efficiency. And you see none, zero with Eduardo Rodriguez. It's enough to make you beat your head against the wall. That said, the Red Sox are 8-1. They're ahead of the other team in the American League East that everyone is expecting to contend for a division title and maybe even a championship this year. Was not a good day for Giancarlo Stanton. It has not been a good start for Giancarlo Stanton. And the Yankees who are in here tomorrow. We'll get to him after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Maserati, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Three home runs, seven ribbies for Stanton so far. And the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Stanton down on strikes. And that is no longer a smattering of boos. The crowd boos him lustily after his fourth strikeout of the day.
So if you listen to this station over the winter, the Felger and Maz show, you know that I was very upset when the Red Sox did not get Giancarlo Stanton. They ended up with J.D. Martinez, whom they signed to a far more reasonable contract. 5 years, $110 million, and J.D. Martinez holds all kinds of outs in that contract that could get him out after 2 years, 3 years, and 4 years. Stanton's got 10 and basically $300 million left on his deal with the Yankees, although the Marlins are paying a little of that. I think the Yankees took on about $270 million or $60 million, something like that. But whatever it is, Giancarlo Stanton thus far, at least on his first home stand with the Yankees, on opening day, Stanton hit two home runs. Looked like an absolute force. His first homestand with the Yankees, 3-for-28 with 16 strikeouts. 3-for-28 with 16 strikeouts. Stan and the Yankees will be in here tomorrow night. Now, Murray, what did you say the stat you had on Stanton earlier was in terms of the number of times he struck out already this year?
He struck out more in the last week, 16 times, than Joe DiMaggio did during the entire 1941 season, 13 times.
That can't be right.
I mean, it's courtesy of ESPN Stats and Info. I don't think we're going to make that crap up and put that out there, man.
Well, they might.
Oh, yeah, that's right. ESPN lies.
So wait, in 1941, Joe DiMaggio struck out 13 times?
That is correct.
That can't be right. Oh, my God, it is right. Wow. Okay, DiMaggio hit 357 that year. He hit 30 home runs and struck out 13 times.
Well, here's another one for you, too. And that loss to the Orioles yesterday, the Yankees not only left 31 men on base throughout that marathon game, nine of them Giancarlo Stanton was responsible for.
Wait a minute. That can't be right either. Wait a minute. The Yankees have how many guys on base yesterday?
31.
That can't be right. Hold on. Left on base. 14. So the 31 is, I'm sure it's cumulative for, like, in other words, if Judge bats and leaves three on, and Stanton bats and leaves three on, that stat you have counts as six, but the reality is it's the same
thing. Yeah.
Okay. So, in any case, with Stanton, well, that strikeout stat on DiMaggio is unbelievable. 3-for-28 with 16 strikeouts on the first home stand of the year, Giancarlo Stanton was. What we just played for you was Stanton in the eighth inning of the game. Okay, Stan came up in the eighth inning, struck out his fourth time at bat that he struck out in that game, or rather, his fourth strikeout in that game. It was a slider away, and he wasn't even close. Stanton came up again in the 10th. There was a man in scoring position, and Aaron Judge was due up. He bats before Stanton in the Yankee lineup. Okay? This is what happened in that scenario, and, well, it's self-explanatory. Then go ahead, Billy.
Well, here's Aaron Judge, and Showalter goes out and talks with Blyer, and he's asking Blyer, would you rather face Judge or Stanton? That's the question right now.
Well, if you're watching these two sluggers in the middle of the lineup, obviously Judge swinging the bat better than Stanton.
They're going to walk him. So Judge intentionally walked, and they pass the baton to Stanton.
See how he responds.
He's 0 for 5 with 4 strikeouts today. He has a chance to wipe that off the board with a big hit right here. And a ground ball to third. Beckham gets the force, and we will go to the 11th.
So Giancarlo Stanton came up in that situation. First pitch, he got jammed. He broke his bat. Okay, so again, the even the replay of it doesn't do it justice. He struck out in the eighth. Showalter walked Judge to get to him. Giancarlo Stanton, $29.5 million a year. They walked Judge to get to Stanton. First pitch, they broke his bat, force out at second base.
And he hit, what, 59 home runs last year?
59 homers last year. He hit 33 in the second half. Okay, 59 homers. And remember, the second half is in 81 games. The second half is really more like 70 games. I mean, a home run every two games in the second half of the season.
And say what you will about Buck Showalter, and he is kind of an a-hole, but he's been around the game long enough to know that Stanton's struggling. He knows he's got a big hole in his swing right now. I'm going to him. I'm going to walk Judge. He's a bigger threat. I'm going to Stanton. He's lost at the plate.
So I called some evaluators last night, and I got a hold of one in particular who said Stanton's easier to pitch to than Judge. So just something to keep in mind and consider going forward. I would have said the opposite, but maybe it's, as you said, Murray, maybe it's right now. Stanton's going, he's in a bad way. Despite it all, he's now 0 for 6 after that at bat in which he grounded out. He comes up again in the 12th inning. Now, the bases were loaded with nobody out in that inning and Judge hitting with double play. Stanton comes up after a wretched homestand, has a chance to win the game or get the Yankees back in and tie it. Here's that at bat.
So now it comes down to Stanton, who has not had a great homestand. Who is having a bad day, 0 for 6. He lined into a double play, has 4 strikeouts. And now the game comes down to this at bat. If the Yankees are going to either tie it or win it or end it. Swing and a miss, and Stanton down on strikes, and the Yankees lose the game. Incredibly, bases loaded, nobody out. Bottom of the 12th inning, Judge and Stanton do up, and John, they don't get it done, and this was an ugly series for the Yankees.
Now, you can hear the hooting in the background. That's the booing. That was happening in the home opener. Stanton got booed in the home opener by the fans of New York. He got booed loudly yesterday, again in the 8th, and then again in the 12th. So the fans are on him in New York. And there were a number of people who said, boy, Stanton in Boston could be a disaster. I wasn't one of them. I thought, he can handle the intensity of the market. He'll be fine. I haven't heard that about Stanton the way I heard it about Carl Crawford, that Carl Crawford wouldn't be able to handle Boston or that Adrian Gonzalez wouldn't be able to handle Boston. This guy, I didn't hear that about. I might have been wrong. I heard Stanton had his moments in Miami. And again, on that team, there was nobody else, not really. And they were so far out of it, He was the show. It was all about him and his individual stats. Certainly last year was all about the home runs. But now he's being put in a situation where his performance is more important to his teammates than it is to him. The Yankees are relying on Stanton. And so I'll give you this as a Red Sox fan. I'm not counting the Yankees out. Okay, and I know a lot of you think I love the Yankees. I don't. I just love the team they put together this year, and they showed a hell of a lot more character and guts than the Red Sox did a year ago. And if you would ask me now which team will do better in October, I'll go with New York. But all of that said, Stanton right now is a problem. And if he turns into some type of mental mess in New York, that thing could spiral fast. So the Yankees are 5-5. They're not 3-7. And Stanton has hit a couple of homers, or a few. It's not as if he's over. He'll still scare the crap out of me when he comes up at Fenway Park. But right now, he looks like a mental case. He looks like an easy out. And the Red Sox should exploit that.
I'm also a little bit surprised at how vicious the Yankee fans are treating him, too, this soon. You know, maybe the expectations were too high on the play. Maybe the expectations are so high because of how deep they went in the playoffs last year. And they sniffed the World Series. I just think it's a bit overboard this early.
So, you know, Murray, though, it is interesting that now there are people relying on him, right? Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, and the Yankees have had some injuries here in the early going, too.
Well, Greg Bird being out, I think, is what hurts the both of them right now, because, to have a lefty to split them, you know, you have righty-righty with Judge and Stanton. If you had Greg Bird in the middle of them right now, I think it would take some of the pressure off him.
Sure, absolutely. Look, Sanchez was sick, I think, and missed some time.
Yeah, they missed five guys yesterday.
So they're banged up. There's no two ways about it. Nonetheless, they have plenty to win. They got plenty to win. So the Yankees shouldn't be bitching about that at all. But if this guy turns into a mental case... Now, that could be fun, Murray. Really, that could be fun if this guy turns into a complete lunatic. 617-779-0985. When we get back, even though Xander Bogaerts is on the disabled list, I want to tell you about the most revealing at-bat of the series between the Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays over the weekend. Murray's going to help out on this one, too, because he was on it. Murray was on it. We'll do that next.